You have your plan, and then what is the action of that plan? It's the strategy of how you're going to go about it. And it's going to be being really smart in the first steps, making sure that the thing you create will attract bright light. People that have the intellect and the willingness to sacrifice the next 5 years plus of their life in intense, hard startup type of an endeavor, no matter what department they're in.
By Sunday Pajamas.
Had a conversation with you, and I think you were at the on that day you were driving your car, and you
Yes.
sent me like the pitch deck of FlexCube on my WhatsApp, and I
Yes.
would say that was the first time I have, you know, I had come across something, a product like this one. And since that day, right, I have been thinking a lot about not just the product itself, but also like the process of innovation. And I went to the pitch deck and it says that, you know, you have been able to patent a lot of things. And I've been talking to Brad about it as well. And he very politely told me that, you know, I'm not the right guy to talk about the invention side of things, like the technical side of things. So if you have questions about, you know, the technicality of it, you know, Scott is the right person to talk to. So, yeah.
Well,
So.
we're excited to have a product that can stand up to a evolutionary scale of how electronics are going to impact all of our lives. And as projects were being built, especially in this Web3 space, with such creativity and three dimensionality, I blew that word, but it is the depth of the art that we were feeling was lacking viewing it on a 2D device. So our mission became slightly changed after our NFT project got identified as one of the many new NFT projects that weren't necessary in the marketplace at that time. The change at the beginning of the year identified that the amount of NFT projects out there are plenty. The amount of ways to interact with them and display or make them tangible were limited, and we felt we had the device that could cross that barrier. So I Googled originally for my own personal NFT project a six-sided display because that's what we needed. We were going to make something that was kind of built off of the Top Shots model of using all the sides of this cube, and I thought it was a cool idea. And when I Googled it, it was unbelievable, not ever been made. So I went down the path of what would make it relevant, cool, different, and started to build prototypes. And through the process, right now we're on our version 2.5 of our prototype, which is they call it in this startup lingo MVP, minimum viable product. And with that, I'll have the right components to our business that we're going to be ripe for someone coming in and giving us that pre revenue seed money that would get us to the final commercial grade version, and then our story can really begin because we have a couple of different means of getting business to business revenue and regular home collectors and the vast amounts of ways that you can gamify digital collectibles is endless, Sunday. I really can't wait to get a chance to show people.
So you know, for a minute here, right? I would like to take few steps back and talk about, you know, the kind of things you are doing before FlexCube, because, you know, over the course of time, I have kind of learned that whatever we are doing right now is more like an amalgamation of ideas and experiences we had before.
Yeah, that's some
So,
there's some definite truth to that.
could you share like some of the things, like maybe, you know, how were you in college? What interested you? How have you got into the innovation business to begin with?
You know, I probably go back a real quick step to my childhood. I was a original gamer with Dungeons and Dragons and early versions of arcade game systems. I was classic Stranger Things documents it in such a great way on Netflix. That was really similar to my life. A lot of time spent between Dungeons and Dragons, BMX bike riding, and going to arcade games was such a big part of my life. But one of the things that I had, even at a young age, was I had a value proposition that was presented to me. And that is that there was a place called Showbiz Pizza, and it was kind of like Chuck E. Cheese, a franchise. And you could go there and you would take $1 and you would get 6 tokens for your $1. Now, the other version of where we could game was at the local arcade that was about a mile and a half closer to my house, but it had 4 quarters for $1. So we would drive the extra distance because it gave us a value proposition. So even as a young kid, I thought how cool it is when you get something for going someplace that's exclusive and you're in a club kind of. And they had some other things that they pulled from you as kids. They would try to get you to buy items with tickets. So they made money by getting us in the building. So that as a young child, I started both destroying things and inventing things collecting comic books. Having fantasy, wanting to have a hero kind of arc in my own personal life story drove me heavily through a lot of the decisions. So I grew up in the Midwest in Michigan, a great place to come from. Definitely enjoyed having seasons and experiencing some things that my kids never did out here in California. But at 20 years old, I moved out to California. I was kind of following my parents at that point, had made a sudden move out of nowhere to Southern California. And I stayed in Michigan with my girlfriend at the time and I was going to make it work by myself. But when I came out here and visited them on my birthday the first year, I within 6 months moved out. It was just too beautiful of a place. But she came out and joined me, and we basically worked and created a little startup life. And I took college courses and mostly, though, was following her along her journey of doing some nursing sort of stuff. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I got into sales, and that was my best step. And I was lucky to get in to a great corporation that did Xerox training. So I got a lot of early training from copier sort of level. You know, business to business, capital equipment purchase sales is really tough. So I was lucky to do pretty well with that. And then I had my real break, and that is that I made a once in a quarter super sale for this great company. And it got me a ticket to say that I was a great salesperson to an industry that was about packaging design. And that's really my, I was 21 years old at that point. And I started into my career that I'm to this day, a big part of what I am is a packaging designer and engineer. And so with that job, you get to go behind the scenes of many, many startups and existing Goliath companies and see how things are made. And Sunday, I really excelled in that because my inventive brain allowed me to become a partner a lot of times on their projects. So if you Google, you'll see many of the patents that I have are through biotech and biomed because I ended up kind of packaging my way into being a design assist to that. The thing that I never did throughout that, I had many different inventions and concepts, but I never took a full whole risk myself. I never stepped out and really tried to create something new until I would say FlexCube. Every other one I had a lot of other crutches and I was more of a part of. But this is the first project that I said, I'm 53 years old. I don't want my legacy to just be that I was a good packaging salesperson. I want to create something that can show value propositions to small individual people and allow people who own our product to use it in a way to bring ambient entertainment and joy to these digital collectibles and communities that you're joining. So long story short is that it was my packaging passion to create for others that eventually made me say, okay, this is the time. I believe in smart contracts. I believe in cryptocurrency when used correctly in combination with this digital art revolution. I was like, all right, that's it. It's my churn. So this is the anime hero story that I hope we can be with this whole crypto crash and all these bad actors. We want to be the first good corporate citizen that acts like GoPro for the camera industry and like Sirius XFM for entertainment. That would be our perfect finish.
And so, you know, this makes sense because you were a part of a lot of innovations in the past. And this is the first time you're taking full ownership and control.
Right.
So, you know, I also wanted to understand when you are trying to invent a completely new category the way you have, does it start from that? Okay, I want to come up with a new product. Like, how does the ideation process look like for you personally?
Yeah, you know, I have like literally my whole life, it's something that you look at something that needs or wants a change to be a little bit better. And then my literal wheels will try to figure something out. But sometimes it's as obvious as seeing on an NBA weekend for the All-Star, they did a slam dunk competition. And the one of the contestants wanted to show off his top shots, which is this Cube NFT collection project for sports collectible. And he showed it off on his telephone, his 2D flat telephone. And I just felt, well, what a missed opportunity. It would have been so cool to have, you know, something that you could just hold in your hand and show all sides of it. And I was like, you know, that would just be something that would have to exist. And again, at that moment, it was kind of wheels clicking and an idea is built by just the sheer amazement that there isn't anything and there's no prior art patents that get in the way of us making ours exclusive. So I'm just like blessed and shocked. But I look at the Darwin scale of evolution of electronics, and I want us to sit amongst that in the time when we went from looking at things in 2D planes, whether it's, you know, the 2D plane of our target that, you know, with a click, you can turn it into a six-sided object. And then it can flatten again and go behind your phone. We want to attach objects to six sides and then entertain people with it.
I see.
Yeah. So that's innovation was brought to us by the lack of their imagination, I guess.
And so when you have this revelation, I would say, how do you like take that revelation and actually convert that into something that, let's say, you and I can use?
Well, yeah, there was a right away. I wanted to make sure that our company was built with a really wide base so that no single revenue stream would define or vertical would define our success or failure. And the proposition of an electronics device is a really high risk investment for anybody. And I'm bootstrapping this and it's limited. So I really did a lot of research to make sure that the total addressable market, the TAM, was big enough across many different levels, both business to business and in the home collectible sort of game use. So that would be the first thing, is I really made sure the market was right. I also had some really unique ideas of how we could use a token with the sale of our physical product and create a direct use application that was like that Showbiz Pizza when I was a kid. I wanted to give them a better use prop and then create a tradable token that would be a good corporate citizen. So that was the other thing I did, was get legally sound advice from our first chief legal officer, who's Johnny Nitti. Maybe you can interview him next.
Definitely. So, you know, the idea that this is going to be a six-sided cube where you can, there is a screen attached to all the six sides.
Yes.
When I was going through the pitch deck, right, that is the one of the things that the Cube does. Like, there is Bluetooth in it. It has a speaker in it. I'm sure Brad was telling me that, you know, you at some point you'll also try to attach like a voice assistant to it.
You can really endlessly attach software. AI is going to be the holy grail. We would like to use some of the current and near tech AI to help drive a really interactive method of programming your Flex Cube for a day of entertainment. Ambient entertainment is what we call it. And when I was a kid, a radio was a really common product for a lot of different ways of entertainment, because there wasn't a lot of cable television, news cycles weren't the same. So you listen to the radio. The radio was always on, and sometimes you'd sing along with a song, or sometimes if it was talk, you'd sort of pay attention. But every once in a while, something would really catch your attention. They would say, like, next 10 callers win a ticket to a concert or whatever it was. And you'd pay attention and get into it. And that feeling that I had, I felt there's an opportunity to bring that forward right now. So this six-sided object and the especially sound is going to drive the new way that people hold art and interact with it. So we're excited to create something that doesn't exist, that hasn't existed.
And you know, whenever you were, I have not built a hardware product. So I wanted to understand how does the trade-off design process look like, in the sense, How do you decide, okay, this is the kind of memory this should have, or this is the kind of resolution the screen should have? Like, is it like because if you try to enhance one feature, it can add up to costs going in production. So could you like share a little as to how that process looks?
That, and you know what, over this last 9 months in the project, the components and the method of manufacturing and how we're, or where we're even going to manufacture it, has changed because the costing model is really difficult to pinpoint. So some of those answers are going to be part of the story unfolding. We have some limited understanding that we can manufacture our original designs at a quantity of 5,000 at a price point that we can sell them. And the range is going to be around $750 for the least expensive version, up to probably $1,250 that would be maxed out with all the possible features at that time in that range. Because, again, we're pricing this against many people who have collections of NFTs that are floor cost $1,000 a piece. So for somebody that's bought six and has $6,000 worth of digital art that they could put and hold, like, you know, a Doodles collection holder, they're around that price point. So the first person that holds a doodle, a six-sided doodle, will have that moment of, here's my collection, and it's sitting on their desk displaying without them having to hold it in front of people and say, look at my cool thing. It actively shows itself as part of it. And the airdrops that the customers get will be unique and special with sound. So costing, I felt, was not as critical, like low cost right now, at least, isn't as critical as creating something that's a premium experience and and really high value. And the sound is going to be the next big engineering challenge that we have, is that we want it to have a haptic feedback so that when you're holding it, you get the bass in your chest. And if you program that correctly, people will feel art in a way that I think is going to be really unique, especially for us. You know, I'm old, I'm 53, but I've had handheld gaming systems in my life, and I want to create something that every once in a while you pick up and you hold. And when you do, it's like, oh, it's got such a unique interactive feel. So sound is going to be super important. Yeah. And it's part of the engineering that, quite honestly, Sunday, we're still aspirational. We have a couple of engineering partners local here in San Diego that we would like to be approaching soon. But getting the visual side of it, getting the functional basics of how it can operate all six screens in a fashion, those are the challenges that we started with and we've been working through.
And you know, Brad also mentioned like the enterprise side of things, where you are currently in talks with restaurants and trying to understand how the Cube can provide not just an experience to order food, but also like an entertainment system for the guests on the table.
Yes, there's a lot of opportunity. And we have a local real estate partner that is really invested in making a model like that work, because tying communities locally together is a really great aspect of what a commercial version of the FlexCube could do. It would be more of a five-sided object where it would sit flat on the table, But on a standard four-person table, each person has their own side of a screen, which gives you a lot of individual ability to either game that time, have trivia, fun ways that you can interact with each other, not on your phone, because this is a community device. It becomes like game night with your kids while you're at a restaurant. So that's part of it. But what we have that's really special is what we're branding IXR, that's illuminated extra reality, an augmented reality overlay that you can put on top of a flex cube. It maps off the six sides, creates extreme backlit layering that is going to define the art, but it also defines the size of the pizza you're about to order. It can show you the entrees above the product. It can talk and interact with you as a digital AI waiter, know all your food allergies, remember what you ordered last time, never mess up your drink order. And then more, you're dealing with servers coming to your table and confirming the AI order. That's not future tech. That's existing software that we could start to integrate into with simple training commands. There's an incredible amount of AI that is going to generate Dungeons and Dragons, as I mentioned, was my board, paper, and pencil fantasy game as a kid. But in the future, you'll be able to have versions of the Flex Cube that will have modules that will have assets that are objects, but the AI will interpolate the game as you're talking. It will animate the action. And that's probably within 5 years of existing DALL-E level AI. So to take that to the business and restaurant, we felt, hey, let's give them trivia night like they've never seen before. Let's give them ways to order food and get opportunities. But then we thought, if we commercialize it, take it out of their direct and start doing like real estate advertising, they go from looking at an item that was giving them information to selling them something because they get a benefit while they're enjoying it. So we want to give them, like, if you come to a restaurant between 2 and 4 on Tuesday, which is a really slow time to the restaurant, and sit at the table, the Flex Cube the whole time will advertise to you. It's just going to be saying and showing you stuff and, you know, just, but you get 25% off your meal. So that's the proposition. It's a weight of how much is that time of the people sitting at the table being directly marketed to you. And every once in a while, Sunday, if you say to them, there is an IXR offer attached to this cube advertising cycle, it forces them to take their telephone out and then look at the Flex Cube through another object. And that, we feel, increases the level of their potential engagement of saying yes, especially if you have it be a descending limited amount offer or something that triggers that fear of missing out. We want to be able to give those marketing dollars at the table enough value that the restaurant can afford to give the discount and still benefit everybody in the whole ecosystem. So that's the idea for the restaurant.
You know, I'm listening to your ideas, right? And I'm wondering, when you are building a hardware plus software business like this one, right? As you rightly mentioned, it's very capital intensive.
Right.
So how do you guys prioritize? Like, how do you make sure, okay, you know, we are doing the right things, we're putting the money in the right features, I would say, because you're just getting started.
Well, let me say that, again, because our project started off with a really heartfelt, we had a 125-page white paper defining the real use of a cryptocurrency that could change completely the way that dogs are bred, owned, and cared for, all through a really great intensive NFT project. And I spent a lot of money on that part of it, unfortunately. One of the parts of that was displaying it on a Flex Cube, because that was what the asset that was going to generate the value of the cryptocurrency was going to use, is this really cool display platform. So I unfortunately learned the hard way that I should have done a little more research on the front end. So I did. I wasted a lot of money, honestly, Sunday, and it's something that I hope someday if this story had a perfect story arc, you'd have an angel that would come in and say, yes, the work you've done is amazing for the money you've done it with. We're going to let you make that next big step. And at the end of it, we're able to launch the True Breed project and bring all that hard work back forward, because it does have a great value for people who own pets in America. Cost of ownership is ridiculously high, and it causes a lot of financial hardship and debt, and we want to help fix it. The Flex Cube can help that. But now we prioritize everything on this version 2.5 prototype, because without that MVP, minimum viable product, investors aren't going to put enough worth into what we're saying. We have to prove it with the prototype. So it's all about the prototype right now. That's it. and so this week, just so you know, as we're speaking right this minute, a 3D printer is printing one of the panels for this version 2.5. So I feel like a baby is being born, and pretty soon I'm going to get to meet it.
And then when you are, for example, are you pitching to investors as of right now?
Yes, we've had some investors that we've pitched to. But the thing is, it's, again, a really rough time right now across a lot of different levels. But we want to find not only money, but we want to find money that understands. We have a single word, a business motto, or kind of our slogan, and it's that we're a shrewd company, shrewd. And we turned it into an acronym. It's sharing helps reward everyone with dignity. So if we feel like if your business partners start with sharing and your relationships are both with dignity, that you're going to build a lot of really strong platform for what's next. So we need to find that smart money that is, and I'm not looking for a lot of money. I mean, I'm in that stage right now, like the Y Combinator, you know, gives you $150,000 for 7% of your company sort of step. Because with that $150,000 sort of an investor right now, we can quickly get from a $2 million valuation up to a $25 million valuation with that level of an investment, by just correctly applying those dollars for the next round. We'll be able to make the very easy step so that the next 10% we sell is worth $5 million.
I see. And so have you already started considering maybe applying to a Y Combinator?
Yes, we did. We actually did this time. They extended the applications, I think, until November 18th. So they're still going through the process of going through those, I think. But we're hopeful. You know, we did our best to put all the right parts in place. And we realized that if you get blessed enough to get it, you are giving up a fair amount for a small amount, but you're getting the support of Y Combinator. So we just would be blessed to have that happen. But other than that, like, I'm going to some conventions in this near next couple of weeks, that any one of them, you come across that right angel sort of investor is willing to, you know, roll the dice a little bit. And, you know, we're talking about the money that one Bored Ape costs. You know, it's not, crazy what we're asking for.
So I'm asking about YC in particular, because I've been talking to a lot of YC founders on the podcast. So let's say, if you need to be in touch with any of them to understand how, I don't know, if just talk to a YC alumni who has done it, been there.
If that's that can awesome. Be of value, I really appreciate it, Sunday. Yeah, thank you. I would love to be able to say that they thought enough of our product, you know, and saw enough proposition that, hey, if they do this right, they're going to be able to capitalize on this $1 trillion predicted 2032 market cap. Who's going to be displaying, you know, forever on 2D devices? Doesn't it just seem like eventually we're going to go to hold something that's 3D? I don't know. Also, the metaverse, not now, it will at some point be a really relevant thing, but to be able to snap your fingers and have a Flex Cube in the metaverse is a big part of what we're trying to do. Meta Rides is a NFT based asset builder for metaverses, and they're having a big event, I think, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and we're going to be one of those partners that if you use their assets, you can get a Flex Cube so that in your digital metaverse version, there can be a version of the Flex Cube. And we want that to eventually tie with software, those experiences in the metaverse to your desktop display. So if you capture an event in Dubai on some crazy concert that's done in the metaverse, hey, let's memorialize it on your desk. So when friends or family walk into that room, you don't have to, again, hold it up like vacation pictures off your phone. You're displaying something on a regular basis that lets people know what you love, what you care about. It's an instant way to be able to know something about somebody and talk to them. We love that about the product. It doesn't get put away in your pocket. It's not private. It's meant to display the things you love. So that's part of the passion.
I see. I see. And I think you are going to start putting up an Indiegogo campaign very recently.
Yes. We're you know, there's a lot of decision points that go along with this, and amplifying crowdfunding is an important part of crowdfunding. So there is a version that they have that is kind of a coming soon pre-launch. I think we're going to take that step to give us the right amount of time to market. And we have right in our near meeting some influencers that if they sign on and could give us that level of amplification, we might go live sooner. Yeah. But I think it serves us the most purpose to do it one time and do it right. It's better to delay it even than launch it and not perform the way that we really know we can if we had the right financial and support from the right level of marketing. Because Brad is a brilliant brander. He has an incredible eye. I always define him as the frosting to the cake that I make. I make good cake and he makes beautiful frosting. And then the two of them is a great combination.
Last time when we were chatting, we discussed that maybe, tech YouTubers are a very big force in the industry right now. So if you could maybe get someone like Marcus Brownlee to, you know, check your product out and review it on his channel, that would be really big.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you have to have a near commercial level product for that, unfortunately, because the expectations now and the rightful expectations are Apple-esque. You know, it needs to be that Google construction engineering feel, material speed, everything about it. And those steps are the aspirational steps that an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter allow is the production up to that level. Right now, our products are humble in comparison, but very clear in their arc of importance. I don't have it here, but my first version of the Flex Cube is hilariously ugly. It just is really six screens on this really janky printed board because I just wanted to get something, you know, like, what do you think? And then the version two was better. And this version 2.5, I'm actually proud of. I posted some pictures on Twitter and stuff to show this one is getting closer. From there, you can see the finish line. But that's what we're raising this money for, is the finish line. And then we'll send it to all of those people.
So, do you think it's a good idea to maybe, you know, onboard them as like one of the design partners where they can give you guys constant feedback? In the sense, that's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, we did a lot of work in Spaces on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We have, I think, 37 episodes of over 2 hours each and touched, I think, over 2,800 people. Yeah. Directly interacted with like 100 NFT projects that came up and directly put their use application of how they would do it. We wanted to distill those down to 10 ambassador kind of projects. And we've done some of that distilling, but we were kind of holding out some hope that we could get a bigger name. We have a connection to a project called Dented Heads. They have a pretty cool portfolio. And we have a couple other that we're still working on. And we want to find those level partner projects because you're right. It definitely helps when you get people that have a use case and can give you a product feedback.
About the restaurant use case, right? Have you been
Yes.
talking to restaurants and like?
Well, I'm lucky to have a real smart part in a restaurant here in San
I
Diego
see.
called
Yeah.
Goalies. So I have the perfect first use restaurant
Yeah.
available, and my best friend really is the owner. I'm like an
Yeah.
honorary partner, but I have the ability to showcase with
Yeah.
both a realtor and the restaurant a single version of
Yeah.
FlexCube, like on a 12 table display. And we also are really lucky to have some local software that do trivia night and
Yeah.
karaoke, where
Yeah.
if you had a tie-in app, it could
Yeah.
allow that table interaction to be really dynamic, where you could pick your songs and lock them in at your table, and then you can go up and do the karaoke. It could show the kids and
Yeah.
parents on the cube, play the music out of it for each individual. It would be
Yeah.
something that would be great. So we're going to do all of that at Goalie, and as we
Yeah.
have those opening parties, we get to also just have fun to all party here in San Diego. We've done a couple of Web3 events over there already.
I see. And then by when do you think, you know, you guys will be able to test something like this with like a audience in the restaurant?
Yeah, that's probably again going to follow after the arc of the crowdfunding launch. So
Yeah.
a commercial project is going to require two components: the hardware, physical, and then the software
Yeah.
that would drive the experience. And both of them are not small or quick
Yeah.
endeavors. Even with a lot of money, there's a lot
Yeah.
of time that will be involved. So 2023, December 2023 is our target date to have FlexCube commercially available for the first Flex 5000 holders. That proposition is also going to come with, and again, we're going through very rigorous steps to make sure that what I'm saying today on this podcast will be legal going forward. There's a
Yeah.
Stablecoin Act that's going through the Senate. A
Yeah.
lot of powerful people want regulation now. So we want to be very importantly good corporate actors in that space. But we want to be able to offer the people, the first 5,000 people that buy a FlexCube, a 5x multiplier of the dollar options of FlexCoin. So if you buy a $750 version, you would get a
Yeah.
5x 3750 options of a
Yeah,
flex coin at 0.01. And
yeah.
that is not what you're buying. You're buying a flex cube and all the promise of the physical product, but we want to have those Chuck E. Cheese tokens kind of embedded in a ICO that is not built off of an ethereal, maybe the money will make money because it's money. We are
Yeah.
saying that maybe this money will be valuable because people are going to spend it to buy goods and services on the flex cube directly. So they're purchasing something that, as it goes up in value with the company going up in value and the coin
So,
that powers it, yeah,
yeah.
that it would allow, that would just allow some use case. We were talking about the crypto aspect, and what I was again right now feeling amongst all the wreckage of FTX and just this last really hard 6 months plus of use
Yeah.
case propositions for NFTs, that
Yeah.
somebody that really wants to be that bridge item but show still value in the early adapters buying a FlexCube and buying a physical product from a young startup company is a big risk for the consumer, even for buying one. So
Yeah.
we feel for the reward of that, you know, our appreciation is give them the ICOs, not rich people.
Yeah.
Don't use it as a leverage to get influencers. We're not doing that. If somebody
Yeah.
buys a Flex Cube, then they get, if they're one of the first 5,000, they're part of what's called the Flex 5,000 Club. And we want to
Yeah.
even maybe say, what if we brought that down to the like Flex 500, maybe the Flex 50, maybe the
Yeah.
Flex 5? Who are the first five people that made a serious impact? If they will buy a FlexCube from us, we would like to
Yeah.
reward them with maybe 25x. And then,
Yeah.
is that legal? Will the SEC and can
Yeah.
we prove with current law and what's going to come on the books soon, is this a true business model? So that's part of what we're still doing, is continually, even with Johnny, our own corporate legal officer, there's a
Yeah.
lot of questions of where's the law? Have you done many things about the legal use cases of offering ICOs? Have you done anything on crypto, like any shows, Crypto Direct?
No, we have only worked on ICOs from a back-end perspective. So we were never involved in the compliance side of things or like the legal side of things. Never involved there. Our contract, and we shipped the product and our contract kind of ended there.
Got it. Yeah. And, you know, there's going to be different people that excite me to think I haven't met them yet, but they're going to play very important roles in the story of FlexCube. You know, one of the founders' stories, GoPro, was very similar to how FlexCube is coming off the ground. It was bootstrapped. It had the early humble origin story. But those players that come in this next series Sunday, we're just excited to bring their energy and some of their knowledge. So those are the people that we're hopeful we can attract in the next round, not only of money, but of talent acquisition.
I see.
Yes, we're always looking for good talent, right?
Like you'll have to hire a lot many people in the future. So could you share how you're trying to like put to, so, you know, we have been discussing a lot on the product, but building a product and then building a company around it, right? There are two very different problems. So how are you thinking about that?
Yeah. You know, I've spent a lot of time building a strategy that is the best thing that you can really do. You know, you have your plan and then what is the action of that plan? It's the strategy of how you're going to go about it. And it's going to be being really smart in the first steps, making sure that the thing you create will attract bright light. People that have the intellect and the willingness to sacrifice the next 5 years plus of their life in intense, hard startup type of an endeavor, no matter what department they're in. So it's trying to identify those people and then also not letting just pedigree be the exclusive determining factor, but their energy, their moral compass. Does it fit our shrewd business model? Do they see the and understand that sharing does reward everyone with dignity? And there was some famous stories about Uber, and I watched this Hulu thing that thing he would ask them is, are you an and if they answered yes, I'm well, then he'd hire them. And I was like, wow, man, no wonder that place ended up being a misogynistic, you know, in trade, you know, law breaking wild, wild west. And, he, you know, God bless him. He started all sorts of new businesses. But could you do that same thing, have that big of an impact and not be like that? You know, can you take a vegan business model? Brad, my dear friend, is a vegan, a 6 foot eight giant vegan. But can you be a vegan business model? Can Web3 really work? Like most apps, services, software take 30%. Can we take way less? Can we find a way to, when people spend money on our platform, build in an acorn round off effect so that if you're buying things on FlexCube, you're also in some way saving? We have plans to let your micro transactions that happen daily for people playing games on handheld devices, to let them build not so much negativity, because part of that money can be built into our crypto that would then be sequestered and saved in a very transparent model. Is that possible? We want to find out, and it's going to require building the team. So when I look at the vision, I don't look at 300 employees under a single building yet. I just think of the next one or two people that are going to be the right fit. And I've met some amazing people that I hope can join our story in the not too distant future. So I'll explore this next time when I can talk about it. But we really are close to having some really great people join us.
I see. And you know, you mentioned that there are a lot of bad actors in the industry right now, especially a lot of news is coming out about the FTX scandal.
Yeah.
Does that worry you?
Well, you know, unfortunately, Sam is also somebody that was playing like a hero role. He's super middle, you know, drives a Toyota Corolla, slept, you know, notoriously on a beanbag, doesn't take material wealth as the method or reason. He was giving back and giving away, but he built something that didn't have a base that could hold up against all individual pieces being removed independently. And yeah. that's that multi-vertical model that we're wanting to directly. And there was a lot of ego, involved. I only have one tattoo on my whole person, and it's the eight arrows of chaos, because I feel like life does carry a lot of yeah. spinning wheels of chaos. You never know what part, but you want to be true north on your moral compass. And the other yeah. thing is don't let your ego drive your decision making. Let yourself be vulnerable sometimes and understand that you don't know everything. My motto is that ego equals everybody gets zero. If you lead with your ego, everybody gets nothing. I want to be able to again look at some of the positive that he was trying, because I'm so hoping that he isn't an evil genius. I'm hoping that he's a genius that got caught up and then, you know, got a big call all at once and then buckled under the weight. Because if he did it and set it up on purpose, then that's just horribly disappointing. Because if you ever read or saw information, he was one of the guys that was trying to do good, I felt, sort of global give back way. So it was a bummer. I can't imagine the wreckage that's costed people. I luckily don't have a large investment in any of the crypto assets, because personally, I haven't seen a direct use case. I want to be able to have something like a part of the decision of the Flex 5000 would be that our coin has a native advantage on our Flex Cube. So if you spend our coin on our device, you get the best discount you can get. But we also want people who are holders of other coins and can't get them off or use them in the right way to get an advantage. So what if all of a sudden Doge could be used on a Flex Cube in really simple transactions, and then let people vote up what cryptos can come on, and people can stop trading crypto for crypto or crypto for fiat, and instead start trading crypto for services and goods, microtransactions, digital collectibles, soul-bound assets that have unique one-of-one collectability is something that we have in our other part of our business model, and that's that Flex Cube Pop that I show. Just a really easy way to lower the risk proposition for our physical device. Well, all across the board, all of these have to lead to one thing, and that is he didn't have a business model that could stand up under the real pressure of people making a call. We want to create a business that can stand up to the part that the crypto is not the reason people are investing in us. The crypto, especially the first 5,000 people, could give us the money infusion in a crowdfunding sort of raise that would mean we would never have to sell out to VC. We would never have to devalue all of our other early investors, because typically in startups, even in billion-dollar unicorns, you get devalued down to such a low level. The founder ends up with 17%. The people that were original 5% holders are holding a fraction. And they get a cash out of a couple million dollars. They put 10 years of their life into it. It's something that has always bothered me. So when I saw the promise of crypto, the future of smart contracts, the fungible to non-fungible creative use value that I think collectibles can use Flex Cube to demonstrate. Yeah. I'm like, I'm in. I'm going to go do this. So I think that if Sam would have, gone back in time and collected his thoughts differently, he would have had a model that had a wider base and got to the pyramid top, not in a way that ended up you in a pyramid scam. Because he didn't build a pyramid strength building. He ended up building an upside down pyramid scam. So that, I hope it's not a Ponzi scam, but what do you think? Do you think it is? What's your opinion?
I would say closely observing a lot of crypto hacks over the last 5 to 7 years. So whenever any exchange or any individual person in the crypto space starts becoming very confident about security and legalities of things, I'm not saying they're doing something bad, but I feel that when you become too confident, right, you start overlooking things that you might pay attention to. I mean, you should pay attention to.
Ego, your ego.
If you let
your ego get in front of your, you know, I mean, he was even doing the things that looked like the right steps. He was going to Congress. He was building those huge high level. I think he might have been single-sidedly Democratic and supporting. And I think that's a mistake that, you know, if I ever had the, you know, honor to be in the position to donate, I would always say the truth is in the middle. The best of us is in the middle. Think about everything in life, you know, even men and women, they line up in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So good in that I want to find a way to bring people back together around a community that, you know, does believe in the crypto promise and doesn't have a company that thinks we know it all. Actually, what we want to see is where the laws are going to go, pre-build a platform that complies or can quickly make those final adjustments, and let that be the thing that real older money says, hey, you know what? That looks like a business.
It looks like
a business that's using smart contract transparencies. It's using the art crossover, the really early adaptation advantage of giving crypto to the people that are the first Flex 5000. That is the promise of Web3, in my opinion. So hopefully in our whole team's opinion.
You know, we are talking about so many ideas, which I don't think have been implemented yet, because just to put them out there, you kind of need like a hardware base, which you guys are building.
Yes.
So I wanted to understand, right, how does it look like inside of your brain? And I'm very curious to know, because, you know, these are like very different and unique directions the company can go. And it seems to me that, you know, you have a time in the day when you just sit down and kind of think, okay, I need to make sure I, you know, think enough things even before sharing it with people. So how does it look inside of your brain? How do you come up with ideas on a very regular basis?
Well, it's also building out a platform that's wide enough and has enough verticals that are strong enough to hold up a serious company. And that I think is by fear. By looking critically at your reflection and seeing the weaknesses of your proposition, and then trying to get outside input or anybody that looks at our product, and it is what we call, again, stealing something away from the Super Pumped show. It's very sticky. FlexCube is very sticky. Even our prototype models that are labeled or are really simple PopCube stuff, when we start demonstrating it, because of the augmented reality programming that we do have and our ability to show off our product, people get it, man. They get so excited and they do a Flex plus one. And that is fun for me. But every once in a while, somebody will say, what about this? Or what about that? What about the heat? What about the weight? What about this? What about that? Things that start to really attract me. And I'm like, oh, wait, what are they talking about? So the things that excite me, Sunday, is the mistakes that we haven't caught yet that I might be able to catch. So I play a constant game of, if I was an investor, what would I think of this project? And not taking any of my biases, those are the games that I think are important. And then really honestly looking at a lot of different people saying, oh, why are they going to buy that NFT and then have it go up in value? It's just because NFTs go up in value. That isn't real. When I hear things like that, the first thing I do is deconstruct them. And I think, what brought intrinsic value to collectibles in the past? And it was tangibility, you know, holding something that I have and you don't. Mine's in better condition than yours. Mine's signed by the athlete. Well, I took that and then said, oh my goodness, so many ways that I can make these really unique, fungible to non-fungible experiences. And that again becomes a vertical revenue stream. So I write these down, I put them in my business plan, and then I continue to look for faults. So I think that's the most important thing. If you get caught up looking at yourself in your mirror and you're in great shape and you just look at yourself like Adonis, I think you get lost in the vision. You have to be able to say there's a lot of opportunity for improvement that you probably don't even know. But I would say that's where my brain spends most of the time idle, is trying to make sure that we don't end up in a place where someone asks us a question that we don't have an answer to.
So you know, what about the heat? Because once you said it, I'm like, how do you make sure it does not get overheated?
Yeah, there's some really great technology that we were using, and I can't really talk openly on all of it, but it is a really important factor and something that we're excited to put some things into the world that maybe don't exist yet. Patented stuff is going to give us some stability for knockoffs. There's a lot of prior art, and a flex cube is only just six square frames. It's been done at auto shows several times throughout the world. There is also a toy called Wow Cube that's like a four-sided, a four-cube Rubik's Cube sort of looking device. It's a very, very small toy. Those sorts of things stop a lot of the most common stuff, but the heat dissipation, the way that it feels, it acts in your hand, some of the ways that it can observe the surrounding in the future versions, because again, to play a game that you could cast a spell by using a set of hand motions that would be similar to sign language or Tai Chi meets, you know, battle sign language or something. Those aren't future tech again. And we have ideas that we're going to build into FlexCube in the future versions. But to start off, we kept it simple. We want to use the best processors. But even that, and again, itself, becomes a challenge, supply chain challenge, because you don't want to commit to something and then break people's hearts by not being able to perform. So we're really in that right moment now where we get to define those. I'm working with some really great engineers for designing the componentry. It's got to have that Apple final product. That's the measure of quality now. And if you don't meet it, you're just not going to be a real player. Like hold a GoPro, hold any of those best electronics, and it's that industrial engineering. So we're excited to be at this stage. Yeah.
So you know, you mentioned that it will be commercial by next year, December. But let's say So the MVP let's say you can use or your team can use, by when do you think that one product will be ready?
Yeah, I hope to have a pretty good, clear working model that we'll be able to be releasing some videos and stuff by the end of this month. So that's
like a working product.
Assembled. Yeah, working product that has firmware. It does the basic show and tell of what the product will look like in your hand. Shows the touchscreen capabilities. Some of the real basics of what a FlexCube is going to look like. We're going to show a structural version of it that is not the final version, because that's where the big step takes. Then also we do have to simulate the robust sound system, because sound engineering is an extremely complicated step that will be taking place on that next version. So with this investment, and the nice thing about crowdfunding is you disclose your place in the storyline, and they understand that they have to give you this time, but they also give you the money all up front. So by having that money up front, now we can put on a sound engineer. We have some really great sound companies again here in San Diego that we've already done some initial reach out. And being able to build that for me is what I'm most excited about. I want haptic bass feedback in a range that you feel in your chest, that you can hold and meditate with and feel instruments in ways that you just right now don't normally experience. And it will call to you to be pulled off of its display and held. Yeah. And when you hold it, just like the heartbeat of an animal, I just want it to be an incredible feeling. So that's going to require sound. The best sound.
Yeah. And how important do you think this month is going to be from this perspective? If you're launching like the first usable product.
Yeah. How is it going to be impacting? I'm sorry, in what way?
Yeah. In the sense, you know, there is a long journey ahead, but is this like a very important milestone for?
Oh, yes. This is, again, amongst all startup stories that make a physical product, there's going to be benchmarks and milestones. This is a very important milestone for investors to take you seriously. You have to get to an MVP. You have to have some firmware, some ownership, or some licensing right to some software. And we can apply across all of those boards. We also have some really unique early partner use cases that are near developable and these low increments of dollars. But by getting the money to build a software interface as our first version, the lowest cost barrier to get a FlexCube will be a targeted device that you can interact with through an app and looking through your AR. If we can launch that by early next year, we can give people a way to start having a little bit of FlexCube in their life. And then as we get further down the road, we can give them updates on their AR target version so that you don't wait a whole year before you have your first thing from FlexCube. We want to keep that unboxing experience throughout the whole year. So by having the target and giving that to the holders, they get that along with the NFT and the multiple options. That's going to get them to be keep being excited about this physical release of the final 5,000 products. So that's our marketing strategy to keep people engaged.
I see. So November is going to be, I don't know, is it stressful for you?
Yeah, you know, well, because we're just doing a coming soon launch, it's not going to be stressful like the real launch. We might do a 60-day even because of the holidays. We were really hopeful to be a little bit further ahead. But the reason there is a 2.5 version prototype is because our 2.0 version came in just damaged. So we had a Pakistan engineering company that we were working with, and we do still have a working relationship with. But unfortunately, when it came in, it was damaged, and the damage was pretty significant. And because of that, I decided to take a design step and make it a little bit closer to the commercial product. Since I had this opportunity, I'm going to have to spend the money anyway. I took the step of making a little bit more of the internal engineering visible.
I see. Well, I would say, you know, all the very best, because November sounds...
Thank you.
There is a launch, and you're also going to be also going to have the actual cube in hand.
Yes. Yeah, and we're going to get to start to show and tell it on our Twitter spaces, and we'll start to do some real social media marketing. We haven't even advertised the POP version at all because of you only get one chance really to like get people excited. And if you fizzle out before the excitement that you built the wave, then you've wasted that energy and that money. So we've laid pretty low. And we made sure to do the business steps right so that the investors that come into this don't see us with a lot of fluff hype. They want to go back and listen to the founding members talk in spaces. We have recordings and things like this that you've helped us memorialize with your show. So whenever it launches, I'll look forward to listening in and recapping our conversation. And I'll hope you'll have us back so that we can continue to share the story of FlexCube's launch.
Yeah, so even with Brad, right, I kind of shared that we have 1 year to go before the commercial launch, but there will be pretty significant milestones along the way. So we can, like, you know, catch up at let's say, in a while and try to understand where the journey is heading. And that would be fun, actually.
Yes, yeah, I appreciate it. And again, we want to be a hero in this storyline right now, that they need a good corporate actor to step forward and a product that's new that doesn't exist. It would be fun for us to have it and say one of the first people that gave us a chance to talk about it on a podcast was Sunday. So thank you so much.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it.
And again, we're going to build shrewd partnerships. That shrewd business model is something that we hope becomes a proper current use, because when I was growing up, the word being shrewd had a little bit of a negative connotation. It was more the guy that got over a little bit on you and took advantage of an opportunity. But if we change the paradigm and let people know that you can be part of something that can be smart, shrewd can be smart, but it also can be sharing and it can end with some dignity. So I'll leave it with that. Thank you so much for giving us the time.
Yep. Thank you so much. I just have one last question before we go.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Yeah.
What does your, you have a son?
I have two sons and two daughters. Yes. Two sons. Blessed with four children.
So you know, what do they think about what you're doing right now?
Well, you know, I have a 27-year-old daughter, a 23-year-old daughter, and then I have a 19-year-old son, or 24-year-old daughter, a 19-year-old son, and a 12-year-old son. So they all have a different thought from my oldest seeing some of the ways that I talked about when you get a concert ticket right now, you have a lot of anticipation leading up to the concert event. But if you received a concert ticket and you had an interface with a Flex Cube during the weeks and time leading up, every once in a while, airdrops could come in showing you some of the event things that are going to happen, maybe offer you a special backstage pass or give you some sort of early access to a t-shirt that you can't get any other way. There's a lot of marketing. So my oldest daughter really saw that. She was like, "Dad, that's a really great way to keep people engaged, and the Ticketmaster ownership of the world has such a heavy weight. But there are other ways that individual artists could reach out." So she liked that. My youngest son, he sees it more of a cool gaming device. Choose Your Adventure comic books would allow you to have a side that has a graphic moving piece, but as you are chosen to go through the story, you can also physically move the cube through the space and be able to experience a tactile interaction with a graphic novel that's released 6 pages at a time over a 90-day period that you can earn special side stories. My youngest son liked that. So there's just a range across the board. And so we're lucky to have in my own family a lot of internal marketing.
I can imagine like the dinner table discussions around the cube.
They you know, again, when you're around a founder, especially somebody that's really passionate, you get a little saturated and sometimes it probably becomes repetitive, but I try to be I try not to be too much about it and talk mostly about the new things. So each time it gets exciting, and I'll be telling them about our interview and sharing that also.
Okay. Well, with that, I would say let's end the show. How was it for you?
Thank you.
Answering
excellent. You know, you're really easy to interact with, and you have a good style. You had good questions and allowed me to ramble, which I love to do. So this is the passion of my life, the passion of Brad and Johnny and all the people.
I can feel it.
Thank you. It's something that we feel. It's a time in this arc of the story. And it's like, let's go. Let's do this and make it available. By also, and something important for the story is that we're building an open source platform to try to create simple applications that small groups of people or even individuals could take advantage of. Because if we could allow that programming option to be that, even if a one-of-one artist or poet or someone is able to connect with one person, and that person says, you know what, I would like to tune into that. If we could create an easy skin model so that simple assets could be added, but some value created, and in that exchange of information, you create connections. That's a Flex Cube, really important mandate. So I would love to be able to see that open source model not prevent small capital art-based projects from getting a bigger exposure. One of the things for the restaurant, not to go back on a tangent, but one of the things for the restaurant would be to offer Unknown Artist Night. Come in and just consume while you eat a bunch of unknown artists. And if you have a Flex Cube pop, the collapsible target, you can tap and buy and soul bond to your accounts your NFT art of these individual unknown artists. So those would be like ways that we could help people where $140 even, you know, or 0.05 ETH is what, like maybe $50 right now, that would change their week, their month, you know. So we want to give those platforms. And that's a promise of FlexCube also, is to let it be programmable by the owner. It's also carbon offset with our forest.io. Every single component will be weighed and measured for its carbon footprint, and a mangrove tree will be planted for each one of those offsets. Those are our promises, and you'll see them on our website if you check it out.
And so all the inventions and directions we mentioned, right? Have you been like writing all of them down on like a single white paper?
Yes. I have, we have our basic pitch deck and roadmap, but I have a white paper that's more intense and it speaks to the business aspects and the verticals of revenue that we're going to really hold closer to our total vision, because some of it, you know, first market matters, and some of the ideas that we have, we want to kind of keep all the details or some of the details behind our closed door. But before we do any sort of a token launch or before we do anything, all of those will be completely disclosed and shared, vetted, feedback. Like I have a version of the real estate use case application that I'm going to be releasing, because in America, it's very common for realtors to get licensing or advertising rights for local grocery stores. And in that, paying for every shopping cart to have their real estate, they get that saturation that every time you go in, you just see Bob Baker, realtor. And you somehow, if you ever need a realtor, you can think of Bob Baker. Well, we want to give that sort of a community tie device by taking high school sports and digitalizing them and tying a real estate aspect to that relationship. And that is something that we're going to be sharing in a use case, because the licensing rights for that alone could raise us multiple millions of dollars every year. And it would give us, again, a platform to build off of without having to devalue all the early investors into Plexium.
I am actually excited to see how the story unfolds. I'm very excited.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's
going to
take some time to build. But journey is the big part of it. So we're ready though for another fun step. We've had a number of them, but we're ready for that next big step, and we're pushing hard to make it happen.
Yeah. You know, it does not happen very often that a new category is invented. So.
Yeah, that's that. Luckily, it's an evolutionary step that makes some sense, especially when you hold it. When you hold your phone and you ever try to show somebody something on a telephone, it's not a great share item, actually. And when you hold a physical Flex Cube up, even if I'm talking to the screen, there is other screens available that allows a lot of interesting gaming and other applications. So we're hopeful that it won't be hard for people to grasp the use value. It becomes right away. They go, oh, I kind of get it. I'm not going to carry it. It's not in my pocket. It's something that's going to sit in my home. And I'm going to interact with it, though, like a cross between a game system and a television and a digital display. It's a little bit of everything.
And you know, even the luxury market is always very interested in products like this, actually.
Yes. That's where the first 5,000 are going to be people that want to hold up, you know, six board apes. We're going to have some special rewards for the people who do that. People who want to flex, you know, the name FlexCube is part of flexing the best part of your life. It's flexible in its use case application. So we kind of played with the name, but definitely the high market people, they'll be buying the $1,250 versions that are maxed out. We're also going to have for the first 5,000 people an upgrade aspect, because we understand the first versions of all hardware builds always have something that the next release takes care of the problem and minimizes the lag or whatever the things are. So we're going to have an upgrade inclusion in that, so that people are not going to be supporting us early and paying for it by the second version being, you know, way cooler than the first one. So we want to have a lot of those things in the smart contract NFT that you'll get when you buy our product.
So one just last thought that I'm just having right now is that the FlexCube is a complete entertainment device, more than just about it being a FlexCube, right? Do you think it can also go really well with the travel industry or like the customer experience industry, meaning hotels, resorts, yachts, cruises, and stuff like
that? It's very possible. You know, like there are some people that have like escape room businesses that were talking about, like carrying it around as a NPC, AI that would be triggered by certain events and actions. And because it's a physical object, any AR or what we call IXR, uses the product to tether the experience to the physical device. So where you're using that would be going through museums, through places where you could hand them a Flex Cube and everybody could stand around it and get a visual of a pretty independent experience. And then a lot of the AR is already going into the museum experiences. So we could help benefit some of that. There is some ways to place it down on the ground and create massive overlays that will allow people to, you know, look through physical walkthroughs through real estate in the future. That's like future tech, but near tech, we definitely see some really great uses for it. Dentists, another one of the early investors for one of our royalty programs, we have as a way for a non-equity investment opportunity. But he wanted to use it for just on its 5-axis, spinning around, showing before and afters for teeth. A lot of different, because of the way that the rotation and the fact when it's moving, you have to look at it. It's just, it just demands it. And so we've done a lot of testing on that and it's a shiny object in the corner of your eye.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I would say let's talk soon.
We can do it again.
Yeah,
we'll do it again, man. So very much appreciate your time. And remember, good actors in this next story arc of the Web3 experience are going to be the ones that you have to amplify. A responsibility of you is to get good actors, people that are going to really watch the guys that even tried to do right, but made just obvious mistakes. You can't blame them for trying, but you definitely don't want to make the same mistakes. So we're going to stay away from those. So,
okay.
All right.
Have a nice one.
Talk soon.